And that's the thing is, like, if you would like to stand up and be a woman your mother warned you about, like Gina and I and so many other influential women in this world, be ready to be judged and be okay with that. And actually, you can take the stance of empathy that a lot of those women just wish they had your courage.
Boom.
Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes business sexy again.
What are we doing today?
We are talking today, Gina, about what is a woman your mother warned you about? Because, you know, over a year ago now, you and I had a meeting over at Johnny D's and came up with this concept and this phrase, women your mother warned you about. And really, it was just a cool phrase we came up with, frankly, over bacon. And but over time, in talking to all of these amazing, powerful women and men in sales and in all different varieties of business, we have developed the fact that women your mother warned you about is like a thing. It's a type of woman who is not afraid to be 100% who she is. And yet sometimes we fall short of being 100% who we are because we got to do what we got to do. It's a woman who is not worried about what other people think of her, although sometimes I do worry about what people think of me, but
no, just overall, reality.
You know, overall. What else is a woman your mother warned you about?
You know what I found interesting over the past year or so, and I forget what episode we're into at this point in the game. We haven't hit 100 yet, but we're close. It's been cool asking our guests what they think a woman your mother warned you about is. And I know we've thrown some off their game with that question, and we're going to start prepping them a little bit on that. It's interesting to hear the different ideas behind it. You know, I remember the first time that we asked one of the Hyman sisters, Alice.
And she said something like a witch.
Yeah, it was like a witch. And she's like going on and on. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's the name of the show. Hold on a second.
That's not what we meant.
But there's been a lot of different, you know, same with the word sexy, right? When we've asked for the definition of sexy, and at the end of the day, both of those things come down to what we've heard, what I believe, confidence, you know, having the confidence. To me, a woman your mother warned you about is that woman that will take a risk and go against the grain and do things that other people want to do and they're thinking about doing, but they've been told, don't do that. And ooh, you don't want to do that. But inside, you really want to do that. And then you get excited when you see someone else do it. And then you live vicariously through them. And I think that's how all of this started in that conversation over bacon, is how can we be the women that lead the way for other women and men of, like, taking a risk, taking a chance, standing up and doing what you want to do, sometimes to the point of not being popular.
Right. And so going back to what you just mentioned about one of the Hyman sisters mentioning the word witch. So if you look back historically at the women that were, you know, executed and hung and burned alive at the stake and Salem witch trials and all that stuff, those women, a lot of those women were actually like magical witches. They were women that were doing things that were outside of the box of what was comfortable for the rest of the villagers. If you really research it, it was women that were women your mother warned you about. Like, they weren't necessarily doing magic, but they were doing shit that people were like, that's not normal. She's weird. She's different. We got to get rid of her before all the other women see that they can be different too.
Yeah. We don't want a revolution of witches.
Golly. And I think there's a lot of, like what you were just saying, Gina, about seeing other women doing things. It's really, I think there's a lot of women out. In fact, I know there's a lot of women out there that would like to be more of one thing or another. They'd like to be more sexy. They'd like to be more outspoken. They'd like to be more whatever. But it's fear. It's fear that holds them back. You know, in the Me Too world that we live in, there's women, because I've talked to them, that are afraid to be sexy, to show up with their superhero cape of sexy on, because they don't want it to be perceived the wrong way in the workplace. And the fact of the matter is, like, you know, a scumbag's gonna see through if you're wearing a garbage bag and see you're sexy if that's what he wants to see.
Okay. So we were talking about witches and bitches and the fact that a woman your mother warned you about is often that woman, usually a woman, that people want to throw shade at, I think. But deep down inside, they want to be you.
Well, and that's the only reason that people ever really throw shade. I was talking this morning with my trainer, trying to distract myself from the pain, about the fact that when haters show up, it's actually a good thing. And but you have to have a certain amount of self-love, self-confidence, self-acceptance to understand that if people are taking the time to throw some shade your way, that means that you're doing something that's making enough of an impact for people to notice.
Yeah.
And there's a strange, you know, dichotomy, I guess would be the word, of like, yay, I've made it enough that people are noticing. And oh no, they're noticing. And there's a few people that don't like it. But there's always, no matter what you do, no matter how amazing it is, you know, whatever it is you do, there's going to be people that don't like it. Like, you know, take J-Lo and Shakira, for example, of the Super Bowl in 2020.
Oh, that's a really, like, let's talk about that.
Half of the people thought they were amazing. Half of the people thought they were big slutty whores, you know? So everybody has their opinion. I found it to be so interesting because there were some people that, so like if you go to the Singing Lender and you can see my, at the top of my Facebook page, the video reel that's got my first parody video that I did in this red dress. And I had some people in my industry, you know, saying it was so provocative and, oh God, it was just so provocative. And I'm like, there's no cleavage and the dress goes beyond, below my knee. Like there's nothing provocative, but these are the same women, mind you, that I saw posting all over Facebook how amazing J-Lo and Shakira were. So I'm like, aha, so if I go upside down on a stripper pole, then I'm not provocative, but a red dress that's form-fitting is interesting. But it just is a matter of like, am I a threat to them because I'm doing something they wish they could do?
Well, it's interesting about that because J-Lo and Shakira are not touchable to those people.
Right.
Right. And so you're touchable and you're close and you're in that their proximity. And so it becomes completely different.
Yeah. And my feelings get hurt too. Don't think that at 3 o'clock in the morning, when like 3 o'clock in the morning is the witching hour, literally, like I'll wake up and I start worrying about shit. And so, you know, guess what? If you're trying to hurt my feelings, yeah, my feelings are probably hurt at 3 in the morning. But aside from that, there's a really great Tom Ferry video that I saw a few months ago, right before I released that first video. And he explained that haters, especially in video, are a really good thing because haters create engagement. And he went on to say that some of the big names, like probably someone like J-Lo, when they release a new video, they actually have a whole team of staff that will create bogus accounts and create and throw shade at the videos because then the fans come back and defend them.
Brilliant.
So it's a marketing tactic that the high level people are doing. So when I heard that, I was like, fucking A, awesome. And it really changed my entire perception of haters when the haters started coming my way with my own personal videos. Of course, I'm not on the level of those people, but even on a small level, it's a way for you to, if your feelings get hurt, just remember, you know, if somebody's coming at you, it means that you're doing something of like that's creating an impact.
That's amazing.
Haters gonna hate. It's a good thing.
Well, again, you're doing something out of the norm. You're going against the status quo, and that makes people uncomfortable. That's what makes you a woman your mother warned you about. You're doing something that, you know, the word provocative I found really interesting when you said it, because provocative doesn't necessarily mean sexy or slutty. I mean, or slutty, you know, like when you use the word provocative, oh, yeah, with J-Lo hanging on a stripper pole, you know, I think the perception is slutty, right? But provocative, I love that word. Provocative is just provoking a feeling or a thought. It's provoking, and which is runs parallel with polarizing people. So when you're provocative, you know, it's, you can easily be provocative just by saying fuck on a podcast.
You can be provocative by saying Jesus on a podcast.
Oh, fuck yeah. don't say Jesus for fuck's sake. I mean,
oh God,
here we go. And I'm saying it as a Christian because I'm, you know, and that's another, you want to talk about provocative conversations. I mean, I don't go out of my way to talk about it, but I'm definitely a Christian. I'm not a Bible thumper, but I'm in church every week and I go to a Bible group. And I think it actually shocks people when they hear that. They're like, really?
You know, I had this discussion with Roxy, my daughter, the other day about Jesus. So here's a little Jesus talk from women your mother warned you about. I reminded Roxy that Jesus hung out with the prostitutes, the lepers, and the tax collectors.
Hello.
So, you know, hello, the people that are up there thumping their Bible, they forget the fundamental part of the fact that Jesus hung out with the scum of the earth because he believed that the scum of the earth deserved just as much love as everybody else. And Roxy's not really a churchgoer because for various reasons, but she was really like, she was silenced on that one. She's like, what's a tax collector?
And you'll find out, honey.
It's the guy who collects. It's the guy who collects money from the prostitute after she's brought it in.
That's right.
But you know, that's the religion topic is a whole topic we've never really gotten into too. But if we're going to talk about women your mother warned you about and doing things that are against the grain, there are those Christians out there who are the Bible thumpers who are like, you call yourself a Christian and then you have a podcast and you swear and you show cleavage and whatever things you want to throw my way. The most conservative, judgmental Christians are often the ones who need it the most saving. I mean, this is the pattern that I see. And I'm not even judging that because, you know what, whatever it takes for you to have a better life, and that doesn't even mean you have to be Christian. Whatever it takes, whatever tool gets you there, good on you, right? But when you get extremist about it and then judge other people, that's
all right. Yes. So let's shift into, so this is a book that you and everyone who wants to have a little higher intelligence and have your mind blown needs to put on their list. So there's a guy named, I think Mark Manson, who wrote The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Oh, I love that book.
Yes. And his new book is called Everything's Fucked.
Oh, I have to read that one. Did you read that one?
I just literally just finished it. Everything is Fucked. And basically, he talks about religion and how everything is a religion and everybody has different religions.
Yes.
And
Seth Godin talks about that too in Tribe, by the way.
If you actually break it down, every like U.S. mortgage, our religion is that this is our culture, this is our thing. Yeah, we rally with each other. We, you know, we have competition who threatens us, you know, and every religion has that. Like if you don't believe what we believe, then it's not right. So it's a really interesting book. So mind blowing. However, and he gets into the fact that anytime you get into, God, he's a smart dude. Anytime you get into...
Let's get him on the show.
I would love to. He's brilliant. Separate factions. Like, let's touch another topic that people hate, that you're never supposed to touch. Politics. So regardless of whatever your political stance is, you've got people on the right and people on the left, especially in the election year that we're in, who are so polarized that they are like spitting on one another in public for their beliefs if they're wearing a certain hat. So then he goes into the fact that if you, I can't even, he's too smart for me. So if you are so polarized against another group of people that you would be willing to tell them their beliefs are not good, then you are actually not adulting right now. You're being a little child and you are trying to control other people's opinions, which is what America's built on. And you know, there's a Republican and a Democratic Party for a reason, and that's because there's two different sides and everybody's allowed to have it, and that's why we have it. Then he goes into, it's such a good book. The really thing that blew my mind this morning is he goes into the fact that artificial intelligence might actually be the highest form of religion because there's AI out there that's creating its own language and its own functions so quickly that we can't understand it. And at some point, humanity might just have to band together and forget all our political, religious, ethnic, whatever beliefs and hangups, because the war of the worlds might come and destroy us all. And it might be on accident, because they figure out that harvesting human bodies is actually the best use of their time. You know, it's so insane, this book called Everything is Fucked. And, okay. And you know, going back to the fact that people, they are willing to throw out that I am a woman your mother warned you about because their belief set is different than my belief set. You know, and the whole world is built on the fact that we're all different, and we're, thank God we live in a country in the United States where you can have opposing opinions and nobody's going to like flay you or hang you or do worse.
But getting back to, now this comes to me from an improv perspective or just a human decency perspective, you know, our whole concept of yes and acceptance of people, right? That's a big part of our, and improv, I mean, people have jokingly called it the Church of Improv,
mm-hmm.
right?
It because is a church. It's a religion.
It's its own religion. I just had a, like, does that make me the higher power? God, please, no.
Well, and this is the
I'm
thing.
I'm the high priestess.
And well, every religion needs a leader. And he goes in, like, this book, he goes into, like, if you'd like to create your own religion, and basically, you know, a family is a little religion.
Yeah.
There's leaders, there's rituals, there's beliefs, there's protecting themselves from others on the outside. There's all these things.
Yeah.
And it's okay to have a leader as long as the leader doesn't suddenly use their power for evil. And that happens, you know, on small and large levels.
That happens all the time. Yeah, yeah. I saw that happen in our church. Well, you saw it. You were going to the same church at the time when that pastor got kind of knocked off his pedestal.
I have a hard time with churches. I've been married to the first two marriages. I was married to preacher's kids. And I saw two different sides of what, how a preacher can fall, without getting too much into my stories, yeah. But, or, you know, their stories really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen, people holding power positions and they sometimes, it's just, you know, we've all seen it. People that get to a position of power, especially in a religious scenario or political scenario, similar things, in certain ways, that they abuse their power because they can, because everybody's looking up to them literally sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, and they think they can kind of do what they want. Sometimes they do. There's a actual phrase for that. I don't know what it is when that happens for a leader.
Now I want to know what it is.
Yeah. I've read about it in some book or whatever.
It might come to you. Did you see the movie? I know this is quite a tangent because we're just talking about different things from politics to Me Too to whatever the bottom line is.
I'm going to bring it back to Women Your Mother Warned You About in a second.
Did you see the movie? Now, what was it called? It was the movie. This is really, now I'm trying to Google it. About the whole scandal that went down at Fox when they had to fire that guy. Oh,
nope. Didn't see it.
Damn it, what's that movie called? Fox Network. I'll look it up. But it was all these women who were working at Fox, and like
was
the
it
whole
Matt Lauer? That
no,
was today.
No, it was the
no, a different one.
Bombshell. The movie's called Bombshell.
Oh no, I have not seen it.
And it was like everything that these women went through. It was quite fascinating, like the whole concept of what goes on behind the scenes of like any newsroom. I've seen it everywhere. And that's kind of in general and in entertainment, right? You have to have a certain look, right? And in this movie, it was all about like, they had to be showing their legs on TV and they had to be doing special favors to get ahead. And oh, they actually refer to this as provocative.
Yeah.
The provocative real story of three whip-smart, ambitious, strong women who anchored one of America's most powerful news networks, becoming headlines themselves when they risked everything to stand up to the man who made them famous. It is a really provocative... Oh, Roger Ailes, that's it. When Roger Ailes was head of Fox News. You watch that and you go,
that shit really does go on, right? We can get into a whole, right? We can get into a whole hashtag Me Too conversation because that's provocative and nobody wants to have it. And I think you and I might both be middle of the road on this because I'm not an extremist. Because here's the reality. I'm going to use what I got within limits.
Hashtag Me Too.
Hey, everybody. I know you're enjoying this amazing episode, but I wanted to break in really quick and give a shout out to Dermavogue, our sponsor. Dermavogue at dermavogue.com is one of Gina and I's secrets to looking so amazing. Actually, more amazing than we already look, but thanks to Dr. Turek and his fabulous staff, we look and feel our best. Check them out, dermavogue.com.
Well, there's a difference too. The thing that bugs me about it is anybody who is trying to climb the ladder and makes the decision, unless you're being physically held down and raped, you're making a decision on your own in a free country to do some of these things. So that's the part that men and women, we're here and we have different sexual, physical parts because we're here to propagate the species. That's it. The rest is just cake and fun. So
our birds and bees message brought to you by Dermavogue.
That's right. So I just think there's a lot of choices, and you know, going back to Everything's Fuck book for just one more second, he talks about, you know, a long, long time ago, and really actually not that long ago, humans were getting through their day and hoping not to get murdered by someone with a sword, someone with a freaking knife, someone with a gun, like
or a T-Rex.
Yeah, they were trying to get through their day, hopefully not to get killed
or now, eaten.
And then it went to, oh, let's hopefully get through the day and maybe we get to eat. You know, and now we have so many creature comforts that we mistake variety for freedom. Mm-hmm. That you think that because you have 20 different boxes of cereal to choose from, and you know, somebody in a different country only has 2 boxes of cereal to choose from, that you're more free than them. And that is not actually true. And so everybody becomes so quickly offended by something that happens to them, and they, oh God, it upset me, and oh, I just felt uncomfortable. Well, go read your fucking history books and look how fucking uncomfortable people were many years ago.
Amen.
And you know, as far as women, we fought our way in to be able to function in these boardrooms with these men.
Yeah.
Don't forget that they still have a fucking penis and they still want to use it. So, you know, pony up, work on your own confidence. And if somebody comes on to you, then tell them to fuck off.
Preach it, sister.
Thank you.
But it's also about having the, I want to say, proverbial balls.
Yeah, right.
For women who don't want to have balls, we'll call it courage to stand up and do that. Now, this is interesting. This has happened to me where it happened with a client. It happened with a client.
Who shall remain nameless.
Who shall remain nameless that, God, I hope he's not listening. You know, and I don't want to say I blamed myself, but I did not discourage flirtation.
Because it's fun.
Because it's fun. And to me, flirting creates connection as long as you know where the lines are drawn and where the boundaries are.
Right.
But you take a risk. You take a chance, which makes you a woman your mother warned you about, because you're willing to take that risk to do something maybe the average person wouldn't do. And it's either going to work really well for you or it could backfire. In this case, it's slightly backfired. I was like, oh no, that is not what I intended here. Oh, who? Hello, back off. You're still my client, right? But that's, you know, that stuff happens. And so, you know, there was a moment there where I was like, God, I really fucked this up, didn't I? And I kind of blamed myself, but I, again,
you have to take some level of accountability for your actions.
Oh yeah. I have years ago, I had a situation where I was working in a show. I was in a leadership position in the show, and somehow can't remember how I ended up in the limousine with the producer. I was in the limousine, the producer going over to look at the next venue for the show. And, basically he propositioned me that I could have whatever I wanted if I just wanted to reach out and take it, basically. And, you know, I'll never forget that scene. I don't remember, like I said, I don't remember how I got into the limo, but there was definitely a reason that I got there, flirting with the producer and all that. I'm a flirtatious girl. I'm with a potty mouth. But in that moment, I had the opportunity to, quote, have anything I wanted. And guess what choice I made?
Not to do it.
I said, you know what? Thank you so much for, I can't remember what I said, but it was basically thanks, but no thanks. And I got out of the limo and I got fired later. It wasn't immediately. And actually it was pretty much my own fault. So I can't even blame him for firing me for that incident. But I was trying to start a coup with the other dancers to get better to actually no, it was a coup with the other dancers that we needed a contract because he was trying to get us to engage in the show without a contract. And I was like, got everybody together and they all said, yes, we're with you.
Yeah. And then you became the bitch witch where he's like,
I was
okay,
the bitch witch.
She won't fuck me. And now she's creating drama for me. She's out.
So, you know, you can ladies make that choice no matter how tasty the carrot literally looks. Like you don't have to take the carrot when it's dangled in front of you. And I think, unfortunately, and I'm not disparaging any of these women that ended up in scenarios where they could get ahead by doing things that made them feel uncomfortable. I think that it's historical, like going back to when marriage was basically created to merge families. And, you know, young women, as soon as they got their period, they were married off and start to somebody they may have never met, to somebody who might not be nice to them, to somebody who might not even care about them at all. And they're supposed to have sex with this person and make babies. Like, you know, women have been forced into these scenarios for all time. And now we are lucky enough to have a choice.
Yeah, you have a choice.
In our country.
You have a choice, and like I said, about being accountable for your actions, but you also have a choice to be accountable for your lack of actions, right? So when we look at maybe women who are not as flirtatious as us, and I'm saying, you know, I've instigated things that have caused me trouble.
Oops.
For those that, you know, it was unsolicited, right? Because I don't want to take away from women who truly have been abused in some way in the workplace.
Right.
You have to stand up and have the courage to be like, unacceptable. You just can't do that to me. And that takes some courage to do it. And, you know, even being in the scenario where I was, where I felt like partially instigated, I mean, I had to find the courage to like, all right, I need to address this situation.
Yeah, you got to face it head on.
I got to face it head on, take responsibility for it, and then, you know, work around it, which I did. So that worked out. But you have to have a voice.
When I think it seems to me, and I've never been in a scenario like you just said, like a professional woman who is doing all the things she's supposed to be and some scumbag man or woman, I know it happens both, you know, decides to try to put you in a position of doing something or behaving in a manner that's uncomfortable. You know, the fear a lot of times seems like is like, I'm going to get fired or so there's going to be negative consequences. And, you know, believe in yourself out there if this is you. Like, believe that the fact that if you are doing all the right things and you are showing up and doing your job properly, then there is a place for you where you can operate at your highest and best self and not be feeling that way. And if you get fired over it, then fuck them and move on to the next thing.
Not the right fit.
That's right. There's always something better out there. If nobody, like, do not believe that God's plan, the universe's plan, is for people to feel like shit when they're trying as hard as they can. Yeah. I just don't. And a lot of times it's the fear of like, what if there's not something better? What if I have to give up my lifestyle? What if I have to sell the Mercedes? Like, you know, or, you know,
well, I mean, look at my scenario that I'm living in the slums of Mount Gilead in Merle's Inlet, South Carolina.
We'll pray for you, Gina. But things, there's a million amazing stories out there. If you're going through hard times, like I love those stories. I freaking love the stories.
Who doesn't love an underdog story?
Oh God. There was one, Darren Hardy. I follow Darren daily. Darren Hardy's amazing. Uh-huh. I followed him for years and he puts out a daily email during the week. He told the story of Ruth's Chris the other day. Ruth, who like, she's a single mom, just like, you know, not getting it. And she bought this steakhouse, didn't know how to even do any of that at all.
I don't know the Ruth Chris story.
It's a good, I'll send it to you. She bought this restaurant. She hired all single mothers because she believed they were the hardest workers. And she taught herself how to freaking cut butcher meat or whatever. Like she didn't even know. And, you know, now Ruth Chris is worth billions. I love stories like that.
Because, I want to be Ruth when I grow up.
Yeah, I don't want to cut meat, so no.
No, I don't want to cut meat. Well.
But, you know, the thing is that you can be. Anybody can be like Ruth when they grow up. You know, it's just a matter of like,
exactly. What
I think you and I, our problems is we have too many fucking good ideas instead of just one. But that's an aside.
I'm going to create a new job called the Idea Catcher.
Oh, go buy that domain quick.
Someone who like literally is like, nope, you can't have it. We're gonna hold it over here.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
So question for you that I've been meaning to ask this whole time. Do you think that you were born a woman your mother warned you about? Or do you think that life created, like transformed you into a woman your mother warned you about?
That is a deep fucking question. My gut instinct says that I was born a woman your mother warned you about because I had such a volatile relationship with my mother. And I've been through enough therapy to know that I actually have separation anxiety. And that all goes back to your childhood of depending on how you were comforted as a child. My mom was very, I forget what the word's called, very like, you know, she would tap in sometimes with her love and attention and then take it away, right? So I have this constant anxiety about any kind of attachment to people in my life. So I think to some extent I was born with it because I was treated pretty differently between my mother and father. They treated me very differently. My father put me on a pedestal. My mother was the woman going, I'm going to warn you all about my daughter. She is a woman. I, as her mother, am warning you about. So I think I was kind of born into it and then owned it and then honed it.
Owned it and honed it. I
owned
that.
It and I honed it. What about you?
I definitely would say that I was born this way. I came from a very, you know, my life was not perfect. Like nobody's perfect, but I came from a good family, lots of love, just lots of fucking kids around. And, I am different. I always was different. I had different ways of doing stuff than all of my family. And I still do. And, you know, I always joke going back to like kindergarten, I got in trouble for being on John Mask's sleeping mat with him, you know,
slut.
I like guys.
Hey, I had a boyfriend in kindergarten. I mean,
so I think that, and also, you know, just things that no one taught it to me. And in fact, my parents tried to make me resist. Like when I decided I want to be a dancer, I decided I wanted to leave my normal small town high school and go to art school. I like begged for these things. I begged to do these things that were outside of the box. I had two full scholarships to college and I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to go out and have this career. Like I chose things that make people go, oh no. You know, I've been divorced a few times and I've moved all over the place. I do what I want. Like I also have, and this is for learned behavior. I don't blame other people for my problems. Like I've learned to go, okay, you know, everybody's got problems.
Yeah.
Everybody's really out there for the most part doing the best with what they have. And it's my choice to operate how I'm going to operate. You know, my first marriage was, there was some domestic abuse going on, and I don't, some people choose to let that eat them up for the rest of their life. And I choose to go, okay, that experience made me stronger. Pretty much got to kill me to scare me now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think I was 100% born this way. I think I am an old soul just from reading enough books about reincarnation. I think that I also was created to be a woman your mother warned you about more and more through life. But we always come back to who we really are. Like I've strayed away from it, and now I'm coming back to more and more of who I am and embracing the gifts God blessed me with when I was born. You know, I'm a performer. I love to entertain. I tried to squash that a million different ways, and it's just not happening. So now I embrace it. And I think that's part of a lot of women's unrest as well, is you know deep down who you really are. And we get bogged down by what traditionally society has taught our mothers to teach us to be and to not be, when really you should just be who you really feel like you want to be. Because if you really are fully exactly who you know you are, then it might be the most magical thing that ever happened, and it might change the world. Like you might create something that has never existed. You might change whole societies for the better. But there's so many people out there on this earth holding back.
I was going to say, you know, it's like shame on you if you're holding back, because you're holding back on greatness that can serve a greater good.
Yeah. There's people, like going back to one of our very first episodes with Anthony Iorino. Thank you. he talks about if you have a solution, it's like withholding a life, a life raft or a life, what is the little circle thing? The life preserver. It's like withholding a life preserver to a drowning man or a woman. Like if you have the answers, then give it to the person that needs it. If you have the gifts, give it away to the people that desperately need it. I think we do that a lot. And unfortunately, I think women more than men.
Well, I think a lot of people become selfish because they feel like, well, if I give you that solution, it's going to take away from my greatness. So I'm not going to share with you. And I think one of the purposes of this show has been about wanting to lift other women up, to give them tools that maybe they don't know how to get, or don't realize that they need, or to encourage them to just step out.
Mm-hmm. Hey, the most successful people that I've ever met are the ones that are willing to give you their biggest secrets to success. And the reason that they do that is because they know that not everybody's going to actually do it.
And the reality is nobody's going to do it like you do it.
That's right. Do your little twist on.
So I can give you all my little, I can give you all my little secrets, but you're never going to be me.
Gina's greatest secret. I know Gina's greatest secret to success. It's called Yes And. So go to one of her websites to find out about Yes And. It's the greatest thing you'll ever learn. Just saying. Where can they find out about Yes And, Gina?
You can go to GinaTremarco.com.
There you go. But seriously.
And here's the thing, and I don't own the Yes And. I mean, Yes And is something universally used in the improv world. I use it differently than anybody else. And even if it's similar, I still apply it differently, right? Because I'm doing it in a Gina style.
Yeah.
Nobody is me. Thank God. Could you imagine more than one of me on this earth?
I wish I had another me. If they'll figure that shit out, then I would like to have me to drive me, because then I could remind me of things that I'm not remembering. And then I would just have me, but driving. So I could be me in the backseat.
I mean, you should, you know, we've talked about this before. You should treat yourself. I mean, it's interesting because I do that when I'm in Dallas. I always hire a Lyft driver. And I had one say, listen, if you want me to drive you around all day, I mean, I can do like, I'm like, I use multiple Lyft drivers, but I get all my work done going location to location. I'm like, why am I going to rent a car?
Oh, it's happening for me very soon. It's the one thing I want.
It is the best thing in the world. I get so much work done unless I have a talkative Lyft driver and I'm like, shut up.
That's right. If you'd like to be my driver, you don't get to talk to me unless you're actually me.
Exactly. I think we've hit on a lot of points. We didn't go totally down the political road of stepping out of yourself. That could be a whole other episode, but the bottom line is that a woman your mother warns you about is what you want it to be. If you want to be that woman, you don't have to be exactly like Rachel or I or anybody else that's on this show. I just think you need to be willing to, I think if I had to summarize it, you have to be willing to be 100% yourself authentically. And I hate the authentic word, but once you embrace this is who I am with my strengths and weaknesses. And I'm going to, for a second, tie this into a sermon I heard in church. Embrace your strengths and weaknesses and then use both to serve the world better, even though it might not be popular. That's how I would summarize it. And this reminds me of, I'll get a little churchy for a second, a sermon that came up that we are masterpieces. If you're okay, so from a Christian standpoint, and you can modify this any way you want for your world and your religion. We are masterpieces that have been chosen. There's a purpose for us, whatever that purpose is. We're a masterpiece in it of ourselves. And you have to embrace that and realize that we are chosen for bigger purpose, not because of our strength, but because of our weakness. So when you are weak, you are really strong because it's your weakness that's going to help make the world a better place.
I like it. I was about to say provocative, but here I just looked up the definition of provocative because I was hoping that it had some positive connotation, but apparently not. Causing annoyance, anger, or another strong reaction, especially deliberately, or arousing sexual desire or interest, especially deliberately. I was about to say be provocative, but I guess I won't say that because we don't want you to cause annoyance. But maybe we do.
I mean, sometimes maybe. It's with annoyance that change happens.
That's true. Yeah.
What are some synonyms for provocative? Now I'm curious.
Provocative.
I'm wondering if polarizing is in there.
Coming from, hold on. Provocative dictionary. Provocative synonym. Annoying. Irritating. 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 Challenging.
Okay.
Exciting. Inspirational.
Okay.
Outrageous.
All right.
Annoying.
Okay.
Incensing. Influential.
Okay. See. Okay.
Provoking, pushing, spurring, stimulating. Okay.
So it's not so negative.
Not all of it. And I think I would say it was provocative when Abraham Lincoln decided to abolish slavery.
Yeah.
It was a very provocative stance. Yeah. And it's very provocative for people that identify as a mm-hmm. different gender to stand up and demand rights. It's very provocative for a woman to dress very sexy as I am today and also command mm-hmm. respect out of anybody around me, that just because I dress a certain way doesn't mean that I'm a slut. I love my husband and he likes the way I dress. You know, there was a woman, okay, so rewind really quick to provocative. There was a doctor in Little Martinsville, Virginia, where I grew up. Her name was Dr. Bessler. And she was known around town as Dr. Bressler. But she dressed really, really provocatively. Now, she was a doctor. She was a very great doctor. She was a good doctor. She had her, you know, you can't just be a doctor without going to medical school. Like, she was a general practitioner, but she dressed the way she wanted to. And at the time, I fell into the, oh gosh, have you seen Dr. Messler? Like,
because you were being a sheeple and listening to everybody else.
That's right. And now looking back, I was thinking about her the other day prior to having this conversation. I was like, Dr. Messler is a kicking ass, man. She was before her time in the 80s and 90s that she dressed the way she fucking wanted. Because guess what? You're sick. You'd like my opinion. I'm a doctor. And, you know, what I'm wearing really shouldn't matter. She wore the lab coat, but she also wore the you know, the funky heels and the tight-fitting dresses.
And a garter belt underneath the coat.
I don't know about that. I can't remember, but I do remember going to see her.
But men were thinking
That's
it.
That's right. But kudos to you, Dr. Bessler.
Way.
She was a woman your mother warned you about.
Now.
Yeah, I need to look her up. She's probably retired laughing at everybody who used to judge her. And that's the thing is, like, if you would like to stand up and be a woman your mother warned you about, like Gina and I and so many other influential women in this world, be ready to be judged and be okay with that. And actually, you can take the stance of empathy that a lot of those women just wish they had your courage.
Boom. You know what comes with judgment? It's not about you. It's about someone else. So again, it goes back to own who you are. Well, first you need to know who you are. Know it and then own it and then hone it. Oh,
I like that. You need to get that domain too.
No. own and hone. Period. End of story. And that also includes, you know, knowing I'm not perfect and I fuck some shit up along the way. But at my, you know, my heart, the foundation of me, I'm pretty happy with, because I know I come from a place of good intentions. I just do things differently.
Exactly.
Amen. I think we've given all of our thoughts, but we would love to hear from you, our listeners, on what you think. God, it'd be fun to like run some kind of contest. Like,
I was just thinking the same thing. I should come over to the slums of Mount Gilead Place and we can do a live stream.
Yes.
And see what people, what is your definition of women your brother warned you about? And what are some issues that we should address? And who are
we
some
should
people
do a live stream. And then we should, it'd be fun to do a contest of like, how are you a woman your mother warned you about, and see what comes back, and have everyone make like little videos.
Ooh, I'll point that out.
Okay, think about that. Like, that would be kind of a fun, again, because there's no one answer. There's the fact that you have the courage to actually step up and make that video makes you a woman your mother warned you about, or a man. We don't want to keep our men out of it. Poor Keith. He texted me last night. He's like, "Are we recording in the morning?" I'm like,
"You're not invited."
I'm like, "We are without you. Sorry." We love you, Keith. We'll have you. We'll bring the threesome back soon. We just needed a little girl on girl action for this episode. So it's time for us to wrap up this show that we really didn't formally do an introduction to, but that's okay. Doug is a master at these things. So a couple things to know. Go check us out at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. If you love our show, please share it, because, you know, the more people that listen, the better. If you don't like our show, stop listening. Don't come back. And don't talk about it.
I disagree. Okay. I'm going to disagree. If you don't like our show, then try another episode, because there's
like
so much
that.
Variety of what we have. Then,
I like that.
Some of our episodes are very provocative and could be irritating and annoying.
Influential.
And possibly deliberately.
Yeah.
There to annoy you. But definitely, we have so many great guests that have so many nuggets of wisdom. So I encourage you to try one more.
What Rachel said, she is right. Just don't give us a bad review.
And if you visit us, if you give us a bad review, then all the hate, the
you are right again.
Fans will
come. Go ahead and hate
engagement.
Us. We encourage
the
hate.
We because we still love you. If you go visit womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, you can find all of our contact information, our social media links, and some cool free downloads.
And let's not forget giving some love to Dermavogue and Dr. Jim Turek, who is keeping us looking prettier than usual and keeping the wrinkles off of our faces.
God, I need to see
him. You look fabulous. You look fabulous. But they offer all kinds of things at Dermavogue. I'm really a huge fan of the Bio-T right now, which is keeping me easy.
Yep. I've sent a few ladies over there to talk with him about Bio-T, which is addressing some of the hormonal issues that we women
and men.
Fix.
And yeah, men. There are a lot of men who are taking the Bio-T because the reality is that they... you know, their hormones change too. So just to kind of rebalance you is awesome. So
yeah, go get some balls in your butt.
it's an injection in your cheek. it hurts just a
little. We love you guys.
I don't think there's anything else to say other than if you want the best relationships and you really want to be a woman your mother warned you about, keep it real, keep it raw, keep it relevant. And what else should they keep it?
Apparently they should keep it provocative and a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
All right, we got to go. Bye, y'all.
Bye, Warners.
Bye, Rachel.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof, monkey, monkey.